Hello and welcome to the ESO2Go podcast. I'm your host, Redbird, and this is my buddy, BDLG.
Yo, what up?
This is episode 7, Bordy.
Yeah.
Tonight, we are going to cover the Moon Crates, the new type of Elder Scrolls Online crate that will be available in the Crown Store. We're going to go over the new Dragonhold content information that they released this week. And also go over kind of the updates and changes that they're going to present in the game and what we think that means as far as the frequent changes that they're making to the meta. But first, let's talk about our weeks in ESO. Bordy, how was your week in Elder Scrolls Online been?
Man, it was pretty good. I didn't get to play as much as I wanted to, but you know, you never do. Adulting sucks sometimes, but it's been good, man. It's been fun. I've had a lot of fun in ESO this week. I've just kind of roamed around, kind of took it easy. I did do quite a bit of BGs on my Stam DK. I've been having a whole lot of fun doing that. Other than that, man, just kind of been hanging out. I hadn't really done anything too huge in ESO this week. Didn't really farm for a lot of gear or do anything crazy. Just some casual play for me this week. Some BGs and chill, you know?
Yeah, I basically did the same thing. I went into Imperial City. I think it was last night, and me and you both, and thinking that, you know, I'm going to earn two more event tickets and I'm going to get my cool looking skin, and then lo and behold, we were a day late and a dollar short, so I did not get the skin, which I'm bummed out about. But good news is whatever the appearance item that is available next event, I'll be ready, dude. I'll be ready to buy it.
Yeah. Yeah, now you have them stacked up, man. I hated to crush your hopes and dreams there too. You were so disappointed whenever you found out, man. You went from happy to sad real quick.
I was legit sad. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Well, let's speaking about appearance items, Bordy. Let's move on to what the new loot crate's going to be for the upcoming patch and update. They are called Moon Crates, isn't that right?
That's right. The new Moon Crown Crates. Yeah.
Dude, these are by far the coolest looking mounts I think I've seen in the game so far. A lot of cool, alternative mounts, such as the New Moon Cinch. I think that is one is your favorite.
Yes, it looks so good.
It does look good, man. It doesn't have a lot of the glowing aesthetics and all the crazy stuff, but it does look very unique. I like the design of the mount, so... Also, they have the ghost mummy horse, or the grizzly mummy horse, which looks pretty cool.
That one looks cool too, but the new Moon Cinch mount is like, that's where it's at for me, dude. I've got to get my hands on that thing, man. But the mummy horse is cool for sure.
Then they have like a plague-born cinch panther, which is basically the same mount, but it's like vomiting like acid looking green stuff. Dude, my favorite might be the Howler mount. It's like an undead wolf that's kind of like half ghost, half like steampunky metal looking. It looks dope, dude. I like it a lot.
Yeah, I like that one too. I really like that one, but that Moon Cinch mount, dude, I cannot get over it. It looks so freaking cool, man. It might be my favorite mount to date. It just looks so good. The wolf one looks legit, but the Moon Cinch one is so cool.
It's very it doesn't have a lot of like aesthetics to it that are like glowing and like flashy, but dude, the overall look of the mount is dope looking, dude. It looks really cool.
Without a doubt, man.
I know this is a very popular thing, especially on Twitter, is the ghost chicken, dude. It's a ghost chicken.
Yeah, there's been a lot of funny jokes about that one.
Dude. I mean, obviously, you use your imagination about ghosts and the other names for chickens. Male chickens, to be specific.
it is a pretty cool looking pet, though. All jokes aside, man, I think it's pretty neat, dude. It's pretty fun. It's pretty funny to have a ghost chicken, you know, following you around.
And then we also have a visage, like a, I guess it would be an appearance, that looks pretty cool, man. It looks like a shaman or, you know, kind of a demonic looking mage outfit, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, dude. Are you talking about the Wrath of Crowns polymorph, right?
The Wrath
of Crows polymorph, I mean.
Don the Dread Visage of the Daedra.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the Wrath of Crows polymorph.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
That thing looks so cool, dude. I like it, man. That's pretty cool. You pair that with this other mount that's up here, the Grizzly Horse Mummy mount that's available in these crown crates too. And you've got your and play a necromancer class, dude.
It's pretty dope.
It's pretty cool, man. Yeah,
I like it. Can't get it again. I probably say this every time we look at the appearance items and et cetera, but I can't get enough of them, man. Everybody looks different. That's super cool. Keep them coming, man. I think it's something good.
Yeah.
That you can spend your money on if you have the money.
No doubt. This side of the development team does an amazing job just creating this stuff. It's so cool. And it's always so fresh. Like, they come up with new ideas for mounts all the time, and they're really cool. And it makes me want to spend a lot of money, and I try to limit myself, you know?
Right. I do. And this is kind of like, you know, maybe nitpicking a little bit. I do wish there were more mounts or different types of mounts available in game to earn in, like, you know, dungeons and raids. I know the newest raid, they did make a unique mount that you can earn if you complete that. So, you know, some more stuff like that would be also cool. But I mean, the selection of mounts in the game are really awesome.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, anytime you can earn something in game without actually having to buy it for crowns, that's always a plus.
All right, so moving on from Moon Crates is Dragonhold and the update 24 that they have or will be putting on PTS soon, depending on when you're listening to this. They've been leaking a lot of more information, or maybe not even leaking. This is like a legit flow of information at this point on the next upcoming big piece of content for ESO. What, have you had a chance to kind of look over this information and what kind of excites
you about? Yeah, I read the article.
About?
Dude, yes, I get very excited reading. I read the article earlier today, and the very top picture right there, looking at it with that dragon, you know, perched on top of those pillars, just the lightning dragon, which is a new type of dragon, I think, coming in with this update. Look how freaking fierce and amazing that looks. That dragon, I know the listeners can't see it, but you can look on the website at the news and you can check out that picture. And it looks, dude, it looks cool, man. Just looking at that picture gets me excited for this new update. I for one, enjoy running around the zones doing the quest. I know, Red, that's not really your gig too much. But, man, I really enjoy running around, taking in the scenery. And I love dragons and fighting dragons in any game. And I think ESO does a great job of with their dragons, and just more dragons is amazing, dude. I love it. It's cool.
Yeah, obviously, you know, a new overworld zone is the main piece of content in Dragon Hold. Excuse me. Yes, Dragon Hold. And then, you know, as they release this big piece of content, of course, they're going to have a new patch, which is going to update a lot of, you know, a lot of the, you know, again, addressing those performance issues that we talked about on a previous episode. You can go check that out as well. But they're adding even more changes to, you know, abilities and combat in general. And so that kind of brings up a lot of the, you know, the patch notes in here. First, why don't we go over the new overworld sets, Bordy? Is that all right?
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a decent amount of sets that are going to be added with Dragonhold. I think 6 in total. Is that what you see as well?
Looks like it. Yep.
And some of these sets are ridiculous, dude. I think we both pointed out two that are like super strong, and you know, let's go over those real quick. So Overland, and these, again, these Overland sets drop from, like, world bosses, your public dungeons, chests within the world, in this particular zone. And you know, the first one is the Marauder's Haste, which basically gives you 129 magic recovery in the 2 and 4 slot, the 1096 max magicka. And then when you cast a damage shield ability, you increase your movement speed by 20% by 9 seconds. This could be very powerful in a damage shield build for sure. Movement speed is extremely valuable.
Yeah, I think so. There could be some fun builds made with this over there and stuff for sure.
Next is Dragon Guard Elite. You get the weapon crit, 833 weapon crit in the second slot. The third slot is 129 weapon damage. Fourth is 129 stamina recovery. Five, you gain a stack of Dragon Guard tactics for 5 seconds when you deal damage directly to an enemy from the front or the sides, up to 5 stacks. Each stack of Dragon Guard tactics increases your weapon crit by 476. You can only gain 1 stack every 6 seconds. So, Bordy, that's a lot of crit, man.
That is a lot of crit. I mean, most of the time you're going to be hitting something from the front of the sides anyway, so you're going to be gaining stacks quite a bit. So, yeah, I mean, if you're running a crit build, this could be pretty interesting, I think.
Yeah, I'd like to try that. I have like a Warden crit build that I have right now, and I'd like to try that on mm-hmm. there for sure.
Yeah, I think I'm going to try this out on my Nightblade.
So the last set is the Cynical... Essential Defender, not Cynical. Your two trait bonus is 1096 stamina. Three is 1206 max health. Four is 1096 magicka. And five is dealing direct damage with a non-heavy attack grants you one persistent stack of Cynical Duty up to 10 stacks. After dealing damage with a fully charged heavy attack, restore 535 stamina and magicka for each stack of Cynical Duty you can and consume them. You can only gain 1 stack of single duty every 1 second. So this is a pretty good sustain build, or, you know, pretty good for sustain, I would say, basically, and more so in PvE, I think, at that point.
Dude, that's a lot of returned stamina and magicka, man. I mean, you stack up to 10 stacks, and then whenever you deal damage with a fully charged heavy attack, you restore 535 stamina and magicka for each stack. So that's 535 times 10, man. That's crazy.
Not only that, but then that's nuts. Also get your resource back from actually doing a heavy attack, which is, you know, you gain resource back. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, yeah, that's a lot of sustain. That's nuts.
All right, now with every overworld thing, you have your crafting sets, and these are where the really, like, in my, you know, in both of our opinions, the really powerful sets lie. So Ancient Dragon Guard, this is a craftable set in this zone. The two trait one is 1206 max health. Three is 129 weapon and spell damage. Four is 833 weapon and spell crit. And number five is gain 300 weapon and spell damage with while your health is over 500%, and gain 3,460 bonus physical and spell resistance while your health is 50% or less. I think this set is extremely powerful. I know a lot of the times, especially on my magicka builds, I have a, you know, an offensive weapon on my front bar, and I have a defensive type staff, you know, or whatever that's infused with my physical and spell resistance on my back bar. This literally allows you to, or just basically transitions for you when you need to be offensive and defensive. So I think this is a really powerful set, man.
That 5-piece set's pretty good, man. You gain 300 weapon and spell damage while health is over 50%. And then whenever it's 50% or less, you gain a lot of resistance. It's pretty cool. I like that transition. That's actually a pretty unique set that we don't, you know, a lot of these sets sometimes are kind of similar to other stuff that's already in the game, or there's something else out there that you can see that would probably be a little bit better than that set, or, you know, maybe one of these sets would replace a set you already have and be similar to it. This one is very interesting because I don't know of another set that performs like that. So I think it'd be fun to use. I think it would be an interesting PvP build.
Yes, I would definitely use that set. Daring Corsair, you got your two trait is 129 max stamina recovery, 3 is 129 magic recovery, 4 is 833 weapon and spell crit. 5, reduce the cost of your weapon abilities by 10% magical or stamina after casting a weapon ability. Gain minor heroism from 8 seconds, gaining 1 ultimate every 1.5 seconds while in combat. This effect can occur every 8 seconds. Bordy!
Yeah.
This is going to get crazy, man. Dawnbreaker is already a very popular cheap ultimate in PvP. I know a lot of people run Broodmothers, or the one that allows you to gain, basically gives you, does it give you minor heroism, that set?
Bloodspawn,
yes, sorry.
Yeah, it does.
So they don't stack, so that's good. But, I think this is just basically a way to transition that main trait off of Bloodspawn to a 5-piece trait, and you can still use obviously a more powerful or a different monster set.
Yeah, you could definitely switch those out, and it opens up some other options with the monster sets, so I think it's a good addition to the game. I mean, there's other things out there that grant you minor heroism as well, so it's not like this one isn't super unique, like the one above, like the Ancient Dragon Guard one that's pretty interesting. But this this definitely opens up some more opportunities for some different builds. Because you're right, they're moving the minor heroism from they're adding it to a 5-piece set versus everyone running Bloodspawn. So I can see some people running this and switching other monster set, without a doubt. Yeah.
I mean, I think and the very powerful like general ones for PvP, like Bone Pirate, and the Chudan set that you use.
Dude, Mighty Chudan is so strong, man.
Right. So combining those with also getting that Bloodspawn trait can be very powerful, I think. So,
yeah, I can see some interesting things coming out of that for sure.
And those are the sets.
No, you didn't go over the best one, man.
I'm just trolling you. I knew that you thought this was the best one. It's the New Moon Acolyte. 830, your two trait gear is 833 weapon and spell crit. Your 3 trait is 129 weapon and spell damage. 4 trait is 1487 physical and spell penetration. And number 5 adds 481 weapon and spell damage. Increase the cost of your active abilities by 5%. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think this is the first set that actually increases the cost of your spells. But it's only 5%. And man, 481 weapon and spell damage is a decent chunk of spell damage and weapon.
This set is insane, man. I don't know that they're going to leave it like this. I don't think they're going to leave it like this by the time this comes off the PTS, man. I mean, you are getting 481 weapon and spell damage. And then on trait 3, you're getting 129 weapon and spell damage. That's crazy. Okay, so you've got a ton of weapon and spell damage coming off this set. Plus, you get physical and spell penetration, and you get weapon and spell crit. Dude, this is an insane set. Who cares about increasing the cost of your active abilities by 5%? Like that, dude, that's not that big of a penalty for the amount of damage that you're getting from this set. That is bonkers. You're gonna be doing tons of damage to this thing.
Well, I think unless you're running, maybe a crit build, this isn't best in slot for that. But I would say most DPS builds, especially in PvE, this is going to immediately be slotted in as like your best in slot.
Yes, I think so. I'm going to go craft this as soon as this goes live. Without a doubt, man. It's nuts.
Yeah, so I mean, it's going to be cool to, obviously, this could boost people's DPS. We may, depending on the overall changes again with the abilities, this is going to be a massive boost in DPS, you would think, because I know a lot of people, and rightfully so, I do feel like the max stat, your main stat, is very important. It helps with sustain and also increases, you know, the amount of damage done. But you're talking, I mean, that is a lot.
Dude, it gives you everything though. You know, it gives you crit, it gives you weapon damage, and it gives you physical and spell penetration. It's insane. That set is a monster right there. It's crazy.
Well, all right, man. So we will move on to our last topic for the episode, and that is combat changes. And we kind of learned our lesson from doing a 2-hour episode of the podcast early on episode 2. So we're not going to go over all of these update, you know, notes or the patch notes. Again, I think, and we both kind of agree, a lot of these are going to change as it's loaded up on PTS. And they kind of figure out, hey, new Moon Acolyte set is extremely broken. Why did we do this? And other things like that. So we will go over, you know, some of the minor changes, and then overall kind of how we feel about, you know, this is the I mean, when was update 23, Bordy? It hasn't been but like a month. It
hasn't been very long, yeah. Right. A month or so. I don't know the exact date, but yeah.
Right. And as long as those patch notes were, the patch notes for update 24 are equally as long. They address about the same amount of issues as far as abilities and changes. There's some concern within the community about how frequently these changes are being made and how sweeping they are. Basically, sometimes completely changing or nerfing an ability where people are, you know, having to change their builds back to back within a month period.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, man. And you know, I think the community is up in arms about this, and I think it's rightfully so, to be honest. I think some people go a little overboard with getting angry at the changes, and there's always going to be those people to get mad just whenever anything's changed, just because they don't like change. I think change in an MMO is necessary for the growth of the MMO. If you don't ever change an MMO, the MMO is going to die because everybody's going to get, you're going to get bored. There's not ever going to be anything left to do. So changing the meta of an MMO is extremely important, but I don't know that going about it this way is the right way, man. I mean, whenever you have these just crazy changes that change the way the game, the update 23 completely changed the way that the game plays. I mean, it changed combat drastically. And now with update 24, it is changing it drastically again in a lot of areas. And so it puts a hindrance on a lot of people, and it discourages a lot of people, because you go around, you get the gear you want, you get the skills you want, you have your character set up how you want it, and then you don't have time to play that character and enjoy that character because right around the corner is another update that changes everything completely. So I wish they would start leaning more towards maybe during the year-long event that they do, just implement these changes more frequently, but at a less volume. You know, not have these big, huge changes once a quarter, but have smaller updates throughout the year that gradually addresses and changes the meta and gradually addresses and changes these things. That way, you know, from year to year, you look back a year ago and you think, man, the meta was completely different. It was all dots back then or whatever it was. And then you look at it now today and you're like, oh, man, now it's all burst damage. Like, it changed and we really didn't realize it, you know, but it's changed, and you can kind of compare instead of it being just this huge, huge, big, huge change. It's kind of a shock, you know, and you don't have time to breathe and enjoy the characters that you've grown to love.
Yeah. I think, you know, there is something about, you know, keeping the meta fresh, making sure that there are things that are balanced in the game. You definitely want them to adjust or address those things as soon as possible once you figure out, like, you know, oh, well, like, this class has this spell, and this spell is the most broken spell, so, you know, you don't want anything to happen like that, to where everybody's playing the same class, everybody's using the same build. but I do think, you know, especially with these back-to-back updates, 23 and 24, they're being a little heavy-handed. And I think that because they're being so heavy-handed in these updates and these changes, that they're having to, you know, some of these are reverting back what they did, which is kind of, you know, a little concerning, right? Because, you know, obviously in a live game, you do want to kind of make sure your shot is true, right? If you're going to change something, you want to make sure that there's a reason that you're changing it. Because like you said, people do spend a lot of time on their builds. They spend a lot of time getting gear. They spend a lot of time, you know, and grinding for the material to improve the gear, to level up the skills, to get the skill lines, et cetera, et cetera. And you really do have to kind of be careful and make sure that, you know, what you're changing is for good reason. And you know, the change that you're making has some purpose or, you know, reason behind it.
Yeah, and I think that's where the confusion and the irritation lies for the community right now, is I don't think a lot of people can see the purpose or the reasoning behind it. You know, they're throwing those out there and they're trying to explain them, but I just don't, it's hard to justify, you know, changing dot damage and then coming back and reverting that change, right? Or, you know, that's just one of the examples. And it's, you know, and I know that they said, oops, we made a mistake there. And that's, you know, and that's fine. You're going to make mistakes along the way. But I think that coupled with all of the other changes is what's causing the issue, right? It's, there's so many, it's just so, there's so much, man. I mean, that last update was so much. I really feel like it's too much in one update in terms of combat changes. New content in the game is amazing. Changing content in an MMO is a necessary thing, but man, when you do it just that drastically, it's tough, man. And it's going to take us, it's taking its toll on the community and will continue to do so. I hope that, you know, I know they're going through this big ability audit and they're doing, you know, all these things to try to make the game better. And I think we as players just have to trust in their expertise. The game's been around for a long time now. We have to try to continue to trust in what they're doing and hope, you know, that they have, and trust that they have an end game and a plan in mind for all of these changes, you know?
Right. And one thing that ZeniMax is pretty good about is communicating with the community. And again, not to overreact, but these are just pass notes on the PTS. We don't know what it's going to look like when it actually hits live server. The reason that they put things like this on the PTS first is that people can test them and make sure that, you know, that these are effective updates, and they're effective changes to the overall ability and the meta of the game. So I imagine that these patch notes will look a lot different when the update actually goes live. But again, it is important, and I think they are trying to be thoughtful about these changes and make sure that, you know, these aren't going to be a trend, right? We're not going to have these massive updates to the game every month to, you know, to have to combat as far as, you know, builds and things that you really do spend a lot of time on.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think they do listen a lot more than people give them credit for. And I think that they hear the community loud and clear that they don't like these changes like this. So hopefully they will, after they make all these big sweeping changes and get the combat where they want it to be. And they have to have a plan in mind, man, that they have to, or else they wouldn't be making all these big changes, right? They wouldn't just come in here and do it for no reason. They care about the game. They don't want their game to be destroyed. And they're not destroying it, right? They're making changes, and it's just something we have to adjust to. And then hopefully in the future, the changes will come. They'll kind of trickle in instead of being these huge game changing patch notes every quarter, you know?
Right. Yeah, and again, their history is pretty decent as far as listening to the community. So I think in the end they'll make things right. All right.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, Bordy. Well, that about wraps it up, my friend. Why don't you tell people where they can find you after the podcast?
Yeah, you can find me over at twitch.tv/BDLG. I stream typically 5 nights a week over there at about 9:30 p.m. CST to about 12:30 a.m. CST. You can find me over on Twitter at TheBDLG, and you can always find me over at studioloot.com.
All right, and I am Redbird. You can find me at twitch.tv/Redbird with a Y. Same goes for Twitter, except as I am Redbird. I'm a content creator as well as Bordy for studioloot.com. We now have our Minecraft server up and live every Friday night. We open up that server and a bunch of grown men go in there and we play Minecraft together. It is a ton of fun. Come join our Discord server. There's more information about our ESO guild, House SL, and the Minecraft server. So we'd love to have you guys in our community. We're very thankful for your listens, your rating and reviews on iTunes, and your downloads. Thank you so much, guys, for listening. Hope you guys have a great week, and we'll see you next time.